And if you're anything like our family, this is the time of year. You go to your cupboards, you get out those recipes, often the ones most stained and loved and used over time, and you try to recreate those luscious Christmas goodies or those sumptuous feast dishes, those things that you fondly remember from your youth. And if you're anything like me personally, you get done with it and you eat it and you say, close, not quite the same. Well, this Advent season, we're talking about those ingredients, about how you put these things together. And oftentimes in our lives, we don't have the fullness of what our faith offers us. And we've been talking about those things, hope, joy, and peace. And today we come to the fourth, which is love. And for it, we turn to the Gospel of John. And you might know that in the Scriptures, two of the Gospels give what you might call the traditional Christmas story, the things that we will reenact and remember in our Christmas program in our next service. So our text for today comes from John, which doesn't have that traditional story, but I think you will be certainly familiar with this text, as most of us have memorized it at some point in our life. So let's turn our attention to it. You'll find it in your Bibles, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, you have given a gift with such exceptional glory that we can barely contain the thought of it in our minds. Open our eyes and our ears that we might behold the one who was born, who lived a sinless life, who died and who rose again, whose life as a gift brings to each of us the offer of eternal life. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So during seminary, I had the privilege of getting to serve with a number of different Presbyterian pastors. I got to serve on their in their churches and to participate in worship with them, to learn from their preaching. And one of those mentors, I remember it as clear as day, he walked up to the pulpit one Sunday morning and he announced that he was going to be preaching from John chapter 3, verse 16. He was well into his career shortly after he retired, and he admitted to the congregation that in all of his career, he had never once attempted to preach John 3:16. And he said the reason for this is that the truth of this passage is so deep, and there's so much that should be said that I don't trust myself to be able to preach it well. And so, quite frankly, you think from that statement alone, from a pastor who I find to be wise and that I trust, that I would have been smart enough to not attempt this morning. But here we are. So, throughout this entire week, I couldn't shake the feeling that this text, this thing that may feel so comfortable and familiar, that within this we might find the source and the purpose of God's eternal and costly love, and that we might see in it what the gift of Christ means for us. Because fundamentally, John 3:16 starts with love. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And we are, after all, in the season of giving. So you might feel some companionship with that promise in the passage. You can't just even go to Walmart without being reminded how many days there are left till Christmas. You bought all of your presents yet? Or you go to Amazon and you just want to go buy some ink for your printer and it says, don't worry, it'll be shipped to you before Christmas. Hint, hint, you have other stuff you need shipped before Christmas? The Christmas list and the wrapping paper and the deal browsing. This is the very last Sunday before all of that comes to a screeching halt. The Christmas gifts are like that. They dominate your lives for this small period of time, and then they disappear almost in an instant, and sometimes they're literally never seen or heard from again. And so we take on all of these anxieties. We have these overburdened schedules and this obsession with finding the perfect gift. And yet all of it, in its entirety, pales in comparison to the original, the first gift of Christmas. You see, when we're buying the next best thing, that next battery-operated inanimate goodie that we're going to put under our LED-lit Christmas trees, God descended from the starry heights of heaven's glory. He took on flesh. He entrusted his life to a teenage and unmarried couple in the least remarkable place, in the most uninteresting town, in the middle of nowhere. So, while we are trying to buy the best gift that we can for our money, God gives his priceless son, and he gives him to the very people who couldn't, or dare I say, wouldn't, find him a place to sleep. It is quite frankly imaginably awesome that God gave his only son, the creator of the universe, with but a word, hung the starry hosts into their flights. He chose to be born in a dark and musty stable. The almighty ruler of all nations, who had parted the Red Sea, who had liberated the nation of Israel from Egyptian slavery, this God was himself born to a family trapped by the might of Roman power and captivity. The loving father permitted his only begotten son to sleep in a wooden animal trough, knowing full well that his last breath would be suspended upon a wooden cross, executed by the same government that had ordered his parents to be counted not so many years before. You see, as the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, God gave more than just his son. He gave himself. God's gift is, to put it lightly, extravagant. It is quite frankly unimaginable. And in almost every way, it is completely different from the gifts that we will give, those things that are sitting underneath our Christmas trees. What can we learn about Christmas love through this gift? Our passage says, God so loved the world that he gave. The first Christmas starts with love. In fact, that love was so great, it was uncontainable. It spilled out into human form. It was love in flesh. It was born, and it was the Son of God. God so loved, he gave. He loved you more than his own comfort. He loved you so much, he gave himself. He loved us more than life. See, this love is not the cheap dollar store feelings that we purchase with our newest romance novel or that we see trivialized in the movie theater. This love is the unfathomable love which God gives, and it cannot be contained by our human word love. Even the true and human love that we have for our spouse or children or parents or friends, all of this pales in comparison with the pure excellence of God's love. During this Christmas season, we might be tempted to jump to the gifts. After all, we can barely find the time to fit the time in to get those presents put under the tree. How on earth could we fit in anything else? But God's love disrupts our best laid plans, and we can never assume what form it will take. So I like to imagine that God calls the heavenly choir director to him and says, Gabriel, I need you and the choir to work up a smashing announcement concert. And Gabriel thinks to himself, this is going to be great. Who are we going to go to? God, are we going to go to the Roman Caesar? Because I would love to light that place up and to give that guy a dose of humility. God says, nope. Says, okay, well, I can think of a shopkeeper in Bethlehem who could really use a reminder he turned away the wrong couple. No. How about you go to the second shift shepherds? They could use a concert. Friends, if God's first choice is to announce the birth of his son to the shepherds in the field, who are we to not make time for the lost and the least? to simply make Christmas about our families and our traditions is to miss the majestic and earth-shattering truth of the Christmas story. Christmas love is disruptive. It breaks down the things that we think we can take for granted. Gods are not supposed to be born in animal sheds and announced to minimum wage workers. Yet John 3:16 and the Christmas story is fundamentally a story about God's unconditional and extravagant love to the people the world assumes deserves it the least. Christians are called to love. And as those who have been recipients of God's love, it is our responsibility to pattern our lives in the same way. In other words, the same love which sprang from God's greatest gift should course through our own veins. It should be an ever-present and unstoppable ingredient in our choices and our relationships. We should love with such uncontrollable intensity that gifts spring up from the depths of our soul. These aren't the clearance rack gifts, not the gifts that can be purchased by swiping a card or by adding it to your cart. We, like God, should give the gift of our very selves. And this is, without a doubt, impossibly easier said than done, because we always underestimate the significance of God's gift. How could we? You will always think that things are easier when you haven't done them yourself. I think a great example of this is golf. If you have not played golf, watching golf on TV is, quite frankly, completely impossible to understand. Because it looks like people with sticks hitting a ball, trying to get it into a little cup. And quite frankly, there are often times when they could drop the ball in the cup and they miss it with their stick. Until you go and you've lost three balls on the first hole and you realize how much skill and how incredible it is that they can make golf look so easy. We can hear the good news. We can be reminded that God gave the greatest gift. But until we practice giving, we will never know the immensity of the gift that was given on our behalf. Those who have given the most and struggled the greatest to love will know deeply the meaning and the challenge of this passage. All of us are on some level like the wise men. Just let me bring my gold. I'll cart the frankincense, I'll stick the myrrh there, and then I'm done. I go back home. Can't I just buy something off of their Christmas list and get it done for another year? Friends, the extravagance of God's love requires far more than this. We are in the season of giving, so let us give out of love of what has been given to us. So let me ask, what does God love? Because the breadth of God's love is expansive. Whoever believes is a wide open invitation. Do we love those who the world finds unlovable? Can we disarm the power that our enemies have over us when we pray for them? We're talking about divine love, not mushy feelings and mistletoe or cookies or the season's best presents. We're talking about divine love. Do we love others well? Because I assure you, whatever your story, whatever your burdens, God loves you. He committed to love you from the very first light of creation. And whether this holiday fills your heart and your home with cheer or sadness or mourning, Christ's presence of love will never leave you, and it will not forsake you. We must also remember that if we love what God loves, we too will give. For God so loved the world that he gave. Consider what things your love compels you to give, because our gifts display the substance of our love. When we think of giving, we might first think of our things, whether that be the things we purchase with money or the things that we make or acquire. But what also about your time? How do you give of your time? Do you give your time so that the kingdom might be advanced? What about your relationships? Who do you count as friends? Do they look the same as you, and do they think the same as you? How might you reach beyond your current circle so that you might bless others? Friends, what makes God's gift to us priceless was that it was freely given. In fact, God gave in spite of our desires, not because of them. And in the same way, God asks you to give of yourself freely and to love extravagantly. So that same pastor mentor who preached John 3:16 also once said, "The truth of the gospel is so deep that the most learned among us can never plumb its depths. And yet, within it, the simplest child can safely play and delight." So it's true this morning. The truths within this passage are, quite frankly, inexhaustible. Yet it's simple truth. It's a beacon of flickering light, a reminder that Christ is with us, even in the dark nights that we live. Friends, hear the good news. God so loved the world that he gave. There isn't a better Advent promise.